It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, yeah. Better than this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Friday edition of the show, finishing up the NFC North, focusing on Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions on today's podcast. Kyle, welcome.
Thank you. Happy Friday. Looking forward to next Friday because we will be together, reunited as one unit yet again. To record a couple podcasts before I take my leave from Draft Dudes during the month of May.
Your leave. I was spending some time today thinking about what I'm going to do for a week because you had these draft classes to recap, but I've got a little something up my sleeve. It's going to be good. It's going
to
be good.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm probably not going to listen to it.
Well, I will be honest with you. I didn't listen to any of yours either. So
mahalo.
Yeah.
Nice job, Bozo.
Couple of bozos talking football. We somewhat have an announcement to make to the people that I'm surprised has not surfaced yet.
What's that?
A little something we agreed to a couple weeks ago when you were down here in the wonderful city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Do you remember what that was? Something
no,
we're
going to
be
recall.
Doing in the summer of 2020.
Oh, yeah. We're running the Tough Mudder, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, why are you putting me under the gun here saying, like, this is something that I wasn't eager to announce? You know I'm not going to back out.
No, I'm not for those reasons, but I thought we would have gotten to it at some point here this week. And
we just did.
Yeah, well, now we have. And we don't know exactly when, but we think it's going to be somewhere in the Ohio, Pennsylvania area. Mm-hmm. And we got a crew, right? Some friends, you, me, maybe some Draft Dudes listeners. Wants to participate?
I hadn't considered opening this up to folks.
Yeah, well,
How
fun would that be? A bunch of guys being dudes, and there's going to be some dudettes running,
crawling
13
through
miles
the mud.
Through the mud with 30 obstacles. What's more, guys being dudes than that?
I'm not going to lie; I'm going to be super competitive.
Oh, another news. Water is wet. Breaking news: Kyle's going to be competitive. You kidding me?
I'm not going to be like your brother, though. Your brother told a great story when I was down in Charlotte about how he ran the whole course twice with TJ.
TJ. He didn't do it twice when I ran it with him. It was a while ago, 5 years ago or something.
So training starts. Are you going to train for this, unlike you didn't train for the TDN Combine?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be ready. Brother, you don't show up to do 13 miles through the mud with obstacles and not be ready. I'll be ready.
You don't show up to run 40-yard dash and do vertical jumps and not be ready either. But here we are.
How much notice did we have on that? Not much notice.
Yeah, we had like 4 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
We had enough.
Oh, yeah.
Should have stretched. You should have stretched.
Oh, yeah. I stretched for half an hour. Oh, yeah. Here's 4 weeks to uncover 10 years of a lack of training. Nothing was going to get done in 4 weeks, especially when I had about a billion more scouting reports to get done.
Yeah, it's not great. You're right.
Anyways, it's time for everyone to get in shape and get ready for the Tough Mudder. That's coming summer of 2020, somewhere in the Pennsylvania, New York, Cleveland.
Mark it down.
Somewhere over there. Get ready. When the details are firm, we'll let everyone know, but we better have some amazing listeners joining us on this journey, so that way I have someone to run with while Kyle gets,
No, I'll come back for you.
No, you just said you weren't coming back.
I'm not going to do the obstacles twice, but I'll come back for you.
No, I'll run recon.
I'll be there.
All right. I'll be fine. Frank's the one you got to worry about. Frank Marino.
I'm not going to keep up with Frank. I'm telling you.
Well, the thing is he's going to be coming back for everyone. Promise you. This is a different animal here. All right. Lions and Vikings.
Speaking of animals, huh? Lions? Yeah. We got the Lions?
You want to start with the good team or the bad team?
Let's start with the bad team.
Okay.
We'll get it out of the way.
Okay, Detroit.
Yeah. Not great class. to be completely honest with you, they got two of my top 25 players, which is a good start. But one of those was Imani Oyuorie, who they got at 146. And Hockenson was my 11th rated player. Oyuorie is 22nd. Big slide for him. But I look at this draft class, and the defining stretch for me is those three picks sandwiched in between Hockenson and Oyuorie, Jelani Tavai, Will Harris, and Austin Bryant. These were picked at 43, 81, and 117. And my rankings on these players were 183, 152, and 229. So I really feel like the meat and the heart of Detroit's draft class missed the mark. I understand Detroit is one of those finicky teams, right? That they play by their own rules, and they like guys that are super heavy-handed and super physical, and they don't like guys with a lot of bend as pass rushers. So I understand why Austin Bryant's a pick for this team, and Will Harris is a solid football player. I don't think he's a spectacular football player. I don't think his ceiling's especially high. Doesn't have a lot of ball production. He's a safe tackler, and I think he can be a reliable piece of a secondary, but I just don't think the ceiling's super high there. But Tavai, man, geez. Super ambitious selection for Detroit to take Jelani Tavai at 43. And the thought process that Bob Quinn had talked about was, well, you know, there's only a handful of linebackers that come through, maybe one or two every year that fit our criteria as far as the size that we look for and the versatility. And if you don't get one, then you're not going to get him that year, and you'll have to wait till next year. And if you keep trying to find good value instead of just picking one, then you're going to miss out on him every year. Well, good. You just paid Justin Coleman, right? So run the base defense as your nickel and use two linebackers. You ain't got to, you know, you got Jared Davis, Devin Kennard, and the undersized backside linebacker.
Christian Jones. Reeves, yeah. Maimon. Yeah.
Yeah. And like those two guys are very similar. So I'm not going to take that ambitious of a pick that early, but that's just me, Joe, although I think you agree with me.
Yeah, I certainly didn't think Tavai was a top 50 player in the class. It screams reach for need, and it sounds like, I don't know, I'd love to learn more about this Lions linebacker philosophy, because it's not up to par with the league.
It's not trend. Good, whatever yeah, it is.
What do you want again? Just big guys? Like,
yeah, they're looking for 250 and versatile. Oh, God. Is pretty much what he.
It's a stupid prototype.
Pegged as Tavai. You know, there's only one or two because yeah. The league doesn't play that way anymore.
Right. I'm not on board with that. I do want to spend a minute here talking about Hockenson, their top 10 pick at tight end. We understand how that went last time. Eric Ebron became a pretty good football player for the Colts, but he really wasn't consistent for the Lions. Look, number 8 overall. Just take Devin Bush. if you're that concerned with linebacker. If Devin Bush doesn't fit your mold for linebacker, your mold's stupid. Anyways, I digress.
No lies detected.
What are we doing here? All right, TJ Hockenson's a good football player. What I always go back to with Hockenson is I think he's this beautiful blend of a classic inline tight end that can block and run routes and win in those classic ways that we've seen tight ends win in the past. But you can also flex him out and get all of the benefits of a modern day flex move piece type tight end. Love that versatility. I think he's going to be a star. You look at the best tight ends in the league right now, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, Hunter Henry. He's in that mold. He's going to be a really, really good player. And Bob Quinn said going into this entire offseason that one of his main goals was to add playmakers. And this receiving core is interesting. They kind of have some bigger athletic guys that don't necessarily separate well. And now they have Hockenson at tight end, which at a minimum could improve the spacing. And you've got some size issues to deal with when you're facing the Lions, right? They've got Galladay. They've got Marvin Jones. They've got Hockenson, big, big athletic dudes. And then they've got Amendola, who's going to open up a world of possibilities from the slot. So I feel like this Lions group of weapons in the passing game is pretty good. And they certainly valued that size dynamic, which is interesting because we've seen teams go away from that. Here the Lions are embracing size at receiver and tight end, you know, and going for big linebackers. So the Lions are doing things a little different. We'll see how it goes.
Well, that's why the whole league's cyclical, right?
It is. Oh, yeah.
And it's is Detroit ahead of the recent trends? And did they make the right picks to get that to materialize? That's the big question for Detroit. You talk about size. They also added Travis Fulgham in the sixth round. Big physical dude at wide receiver from Old Dominion. Your guy, Isaac Nauta, in the seventh round as well.
Yeah.
Looked you dead in the eye and said he was going to run 4.46.
I'll never forget it. Never in a million years. At a combine presser, only about five people there. I'm asking Isaac Nauta any question I want. Ask him what he thought he was, how he's going to test. Dude looks me in the eye with his receding hairline that's rivals only mine.
Oh, jeez.
Tells me he's going to run 4.6, brother. He shows up and runs 4.9. How do you get what? How does that even happen?
Something was lost in translation.
It hit me hard when he ran that. And I wrote a nice feature on him. I felt like we had a good one-on-one.
Yep.
The dude rewards me with a 4.9.
The very next day, 4.92 or whatever it was.
My God.
I don't think
he's a bad player, though, right? Like, his tape's not that bad. But you just
getting ready to say.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'll let you have it.
I will say this. Solid blocker. I think he's a better functional athlete with the ball in his hands than what you saw with the athletic testing that he brought. He was a guy for me, 140th on the board, fourth round grade as far as value. They got him in the seventh because his athleticism concerns. Fairly refined player, though.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty solid as a blocker. I think he's smart running routes. He may never be a true man beater, but if you've got Hockenson in your tight end room, that's your man beater right there because he's going to beat guys up. And he's dynamic enough he can run past some linebackers. Nauta is a second option, a tight end two, a guy that it will be reliable blocking, short yardage, third down, red zone, and find soft spaces in zone. I think he's going to stick on this team, Joe.
Speaking of sticking on this team for tight ends, I want to look at this tight end depth chart with you. And you tell me what do you think, 3-4 tight ends at the most? Who's making this football team?
Sure.
Jesse James, who they gave decent money to in free agency, TJ Hockenson, their top 10 pick, Isaac Nauta. Now, they also have Michael Roberts, Logan Thomas, Jerome Cunningham. See Jerome Cunningham. Who else makes his team?
Roberts makes the team. The two rookies make the team. And Jesse James makes the team.
So Logan Thomas is out.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless they want him as QB3.
Well, that's the thing. You think about a guy like Joe Webb, right? Who's
right.
played in the league for 1,000 years because he's a good special teamer and he can play some wide receiver. But also, if you need a guy to take some snaps and get through a football game, he can do that for you. So that's a hidden value with Logan Thomas. It's a crowded room. It's a good problem to have. Injuries, things will happen, and they'll be happy to have that type of depth. But
that's kind of an indictment of Michael Roberts, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
You know, because they drafted him, what, last year, 2 years ago?
17, fourth round pick in 2017.
And then they turn around and they sign Jesse James to a very ambitious contract, and then they draft two tight ends.
And they sign Logan Thomas,
who's
been a rosterable tight end that I'm very familiar with. He's the reason the Dolphins didn't have a higher pick in the draft, you know, this past year.
Why?
Because if he catches that ball...
Wasn't that Charles Clay?
Oh, yeah.
There goes that theory real quick. Yeah. Any parting thoughts on the Lions?
Yeah, you're not going to edit that out, are you, Kyle? That's just going to stick there.
No, that's going to stay.
Appreciate that, really.
The poor Logan Thomas trying to throw him under the bus.
I did.
I got to defend his honor.
I threw him right under the bus. It was Charles Clay. Man, Charles Clay with the Arizona Cardinals. All right, no, I have nothing else to say on the Lions.
Okay, Vikings. Why don't you go ahead and lead us off here, because I kind of rambled about every single freaking of their first five picks
Ramble a little here. I did the Vikings draft mulligan this past week for Draft Network, and I was looking through this thing, and like, I don't have much problem with this. I mean, we went into this draft this offseason for Minnesota with a huge need on the interior offensive line, and they're moving to this zone style scheme, and they get a beautiful fit and Garrett Bradbury, who has tremendous lateral mobility and really thrived in that zone blocking scheme at NC State. And this move now allows Pat Elflein to kick over to guard. This interior offensive line just got better in two spots. Tight end, sneaky need for this football team. Well, number 50 overall, let's go Irv Smith Jr., who projects as a really solid starter with a balanced skill set across the board. I like the Alexander Madison pick, right, as a complement to Dalvin Cook. I know he's a player that, you know, you were pretty high on, and giving you that power dynamic to complement Dalvin Cook with an improved offensive line. And then Drew Samia, another perfect fit in terms of an interior offensive lineman in his own blocking scheme. I don't think that they could have done a better job with those first four picks. So to me, I don't necessarily love everything that happened the rest of the way. But when you come away with that resume of four picks to start the draft, Rick Spielman got his football team better in areas that it needed to improve.
All right. Now I'm going to undergo a little exercise with you.
All right.
Okay.
Is this exercise to get ready for the Tough Mudder?
No. It's a mental exercise.
Oh, boy.
I want you to pretend and flip the Madison and Samia picks. Okay? So just pretend they took Samia first.
I mean, that's only like 10 spots on the board, 12 spots on the board.
12 spots on the board, but stick with me. All right. It'll make sense in just a moment.
I got to get my mind engaged. My eyes are closed. I'm locked in.
Okay. Garrett Bradbury, drafted 18th. Mm-hmm. Rank on Kyle's board, 25th. Good value, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Irv Smith, drafted 50. Rank on Kyle's board, 35. Good value, right?
Yeah.
Drew Samia. Pretend he was drafted at 114. We're going to pretend he was drafted at 102.
I'm pretending.
Rank on Kyle's board, 78. Good value, right?
Yeah.
Alexander Madison, he was drafted at 102. We're going to pretend he was drafted at 114. Rank on Kyle's board, 113. Good value, right?
Yeah.
Cameron Smith, drafted 162. Rank on Kyle's board, 160. Good value.
Yeah.
Armand Watts, drafted 190. Rank on Kyle's board, 195. Good value. I did not evaluate Marcus Epps. Ali Udoh, 193. Rank on Kyle's board, 202. This team was top to bottom, one of the closest as far as going pick for pick, getting plus value or appropriate value at the absolute worst with almost every single pick that they made. And they made a ton of picks in this year's draft class. They had what, 12, 11?
Yeah, a lot.
They had 12, most in the draft this year. And I just went through pick for pick with their first, like, or seven of their first eight picks.
Armand Watts is probably a plus value as well, right? Where'd you have him?
I said Armand Watts. I had him 195. He was drafted at 190.
I had him 134.
You liked Armand Watts.
Yeesh. I like good player.
I remember watching Armand, and I put something in the TDN Slack, and John hit me up afterwards and was like, "Yo, you said you liked Armand Watts, but you got him at 195. Do you even really like him?" It's like, yeah, I like him for what he is.
Yeah.
But he's a fun player. He's got some promising reps on film, man. So as a backup, a rotational pass rusher, which that penetration role in that front's been something that they've been looking to get solidified for a while now, I like a lot of what they did top to bottom. With this draft class, I go through pick for pick for pick for pick. And I think they did a wonderful job.
Yeah, especially, I mean, think about this. They had, like you said, 12 draft picks. What, if seven of those were in the sixth and seventh round? We both like Watts as a potential rotational fit for them. Ali Udoh is a very intriguing, toolsy, small school offensive tackle. And it's nice to have a guy like that waiting in the wings. Potentially you could develop him into, at a minimum, a utility blocker, but maybe a guy that winds up being your swing tackle in time. Chris Boyd in the seventh round, that's a good pick because at a minimum, I bet you Chris Boyd's going to be a good special teams player. He's physical. He likes a tackle. And maybe in this defense, he can play some of a hybrid safety corner slot and maybe help you on sub packages. Dylan Mitchell in the seventh round, are you kidding me? A guy with his vertical receiving skill set in the seventh round is very interesting. So I can get behind a lot of these picks for my draft mulligan. It was funny. I had to be nitpicky with it. I wind up swapping out Cameron Smith
for a different linebacker, David Long from West Virginia. And really the whole basis of my decision there was, I feel like there's more in David Long's toolbox. Now, David Long has his share of warts in terms of, you know, some misreads. He's got short arms and he whiffs a ton with his tackles, but at least he's gives you a quick trigger. He's physical. He can move really well compared to Cameron Smith, who has some restrictions in coverage, and he's got a very, you know, his injury history is pretty concerning because he had that ACL tear in 2015, and then he needed injections this year for it, in addition to missing a couple games with the hammy. So, I mean, that was my draft mulligan. If I can change one thing, it was the fifth round linebacker picking a different one that has a slightly higher ceiling. Great yeah, work, Rick Spielman.
I would even leave Cameron Smith. I'd probably look at maybe double dipping on seventh round wide receivers, and now you're just getting super nitpicky. Like, who the fuck cares?
Right.
Who cares? And this team had two top 50 picks, and one of their picks was 50.
Yeah.
Came away with plus value top to bottom.
Kyle, I think people listening to us have a discussion about the Vikings draft may have looked for us to criticize more the Alexander Mattison pick.
No.
Well, that's what I want you to talk, because I know you're Prosper. A big fan of him. Talk about him.
Yeah. Mattison is... I like his dynamic versus Dalvin Cook. So I think Dalvin Cook's still going to be your lead back, mm-hmm. hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, I know the things have not materialized for Dalvin thus far in the pros the way they would have liked for them to materialize. But Mattison is... He's big and he's physical, but he's also slippery. So I think he gives you a little bit more of a banger role than what you would get with Dalvin Cook. But he is very effective at making that first guy miss. He's got really good vision in the open field, just like Dalvin Cook does. Dalvin Cook's a little bit more of a step frequency type guy. And what I mean by that is it's the rapid steps, how often he can get foot contact in the ground, and that's how he changes directions. Mattison's a little bit more flexible, I feel like, a little bit more loose below the waist. And when you pair that with his size, it's a really fascinating blend of skills. And there's some reps that remind you of another Boise State running back, Jay Ajayi, who went in the fifth round and then had some success with Miami, was traded. The knees have betrayed Ajayi, but Ajayi had multiple knee injuries at the college level before even getting to the pros. And now you're seeing his knees really wear down, and he's a free agent just getting through his rookie contract and doesn't have a team. Mattison doesn't have that kind of wear and tear concern about him, but he has some similar physicality and mobility to his frame that allows for some of these dynamic cuts that you see these big backs that have that looseness and are able to make. So he gives a little different style and flavor to what Dalvin Cook has, but at the same time, both of these guys have super slippery habits, and they both have really good open field vision.
And Mattison, I think he helps you on every down because he's good in pass pro and he can catch the football. So you love that you have a guy that there's really no restrictions. He's not the fastest guy, but you know, between the tackles, runner has some wiggle to him for a big guy, catches the football, pass protects. That's what you're looking for in your backup running back. So I think that was one of their better picks that I think maybe some people expected some criticism, but if you watch Mattison play, there's a lot to like about how he fits his team.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn on the Wyoming game. Watch him hurdle like 10 dudes. It's crazy. He's really fun football player. So now that we've just got done heaping praise on Minnesota, I think we've really taken the suspense out of the top of this division and what we think it looks like, yeah. Joe. But we do need to rank these four teams. We have Detroit, Minnesota, Chicago, and the Vikings. Who's last for you out of these four teams?
It's between the Bears and the Lions. There's more redeeming qualities with the Lions draft, in my opinion. So the last place is the Bears in this division for me.
Yeah, and Chicago, you know, they're kind of – they had the deck loaded against them this year because they were so aggressive with their draft capital last year, so they didn't get a lot of chances. They had to trade up to 73, and that was their first pick. So they're naturally not going to have a lot of chances to get hits with their draft class, but I actually agree with you. I look at the Bears class, and I don't see a lot of year one contributors. And we talked yesterday about some of the skepticism that we have about even the top pick that they made in David Montgomery and some of the concerns with vision that we have with him. So I agree with you. Chicago would be rated last for me out of this division.
And so the same bottom two in the same order?
Yeah, I think I have to go with Detroit just because that, you know, that second, third, and first, fourth round pick were frustrating selections for me. That's a lot of missed opportunity as far as I'm concerned.
So Vikings and Packers for one and two.
Packers two.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Is there somebody Green Bay could have picked instead of Rayshon Gary Burns? That would have swore? So if they pick Brian Burns, that swings them ahead.
Oh, yeah, because those first one, two, three, four, the first five picks, even the first six, I would have liked the whole thing. That was my big gripe with the Packers draft was Gary. You put Burns at the top of that, I like everything else they did.
Even though they signed Zadarius and Preston and they had Kyler Fackrell who had 10 sacks last year.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Because they, I mean, obviously their edge rushing, their edge pressure wasn't good. They got in good interior pressure last year. But, I mean, I'm not going to gripe about having too many good pass rushers, right? Like,
yeah. And Fackrell's got to prove that that wasn't just
a thing. Is some of the Green Bay people that I've talked to, they say that it's kind of fluky. I mean, but I like Kyler coming out, so I want to believe that it was good. But, you know, I've heard some thoughts that potentially that was some gift wrap sacks involved there.
Speaking of Kyler, did you see one of the guys over at NFL.com released their fantasy projections for 2019? And they did their quarterback rankings, and he listed Kyler Murray as the number five rated fantasy quarterback in all of football next year.
In the whole league.
In the whole league.
Well, I mean, I guess his ability to run makes him interesting, right? You saw like Josh Allen. That was why he was a big fantasy factor down the stretch last year. And certainly that can help him out. I don't know. I think that's aggressive.
Five's ambitious.
Yeah, that's really – yeah, I mean, a guy that's 1 year starter at Oklahoma making a big jump without a great supporting cast and an unproven coach running that off. I mean, there's questions, right?
Yeah.
More questions than I could have for number five.
People ask me a lot of fantasy questions, and I am terrible at fantasy advice, but my free fantasy advice for the day is don't – draft Kyler as the fifth quarterback in your league.
No, unless it's like a startup dynasty league, right?
Maybe. Right, and everybody else is already accounted
right.
for.
Maybe. Like,
yeah, no, it wouldn't be five, top five for me. So, but that's why I'm terrible fantasy, so don't listen to me.
Same.
Joe, we're going to have to get the wheels moving on getting something set up for maybe a TD and dynasty league. I don't know.
Fantasy?
We're doing fantasy leagues this year. We're doing Madden leagues this year. It's going to be a great, great year.
I got to get a video game box.
We're doing the Tough Mudder. Lots of stuff to look forward to in the next 12 months. I guess the 2020 draft gets wrapped into that too, huh?
Yeah, starting that pretty soon.
Yeah. What we got? We got a week and a half, and then it's on to 2020, baby. So thank you guys for tuning in this week. We hope you enjoyed the wrap of the NFC North. We will be back not tomorrow. Don't want to make false promises here. We'll be back on Monday. We got two more divisions to work through. So we will be done by next Friday with the entire NFL. Get ourselves queued up, and then I am away for a week the following week, and Joe has something special that he's teasing that you guys will have to tell me what it is, because I'm not going to listen while I'm away. So if you have hot takes for Takes on Takes with the hashtag Takes on Takes, tweet at us at the Joe Marino and at Grinding the Tape. Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.